Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Air Purifier Thunderstorm. The three-pack is back. To order, go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code Howie3. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. It is the last hour of this show for our Wednesday show, and it's been going by very quickly. We've had a lot of appearances. We actually had an appearance from a man we haven't seen quite a lot of recently, the one and only Joe Biden. It went about as good as you would expect. He called the variant by the incorrect name. He coughed a lot. And he talked about Cabbage Patch Kids, which I think I could have predicted would be the general vibe of the speech. Now we're hearing, we're spoiled today. Our cup runneth over. Now we have Dr. Fauci at the podium. And actually, can we go live here, Jared? Peter Ducey's getting a question.
It's a different issue. For example, when you talk, we still have Title 42 with regard to protection at the border. So there are protections at the border that you don't have the capability, as you know, of somebody getting on a plane, getting checked, looking at a passport. We don't have that there, but we can get some degree of mitigation.
Is there something to do to test these people somewhere else?
There is testing at the border under certain circumstances, as you know.
Michael, two questions. First,
it didn't sound like it was too good of a question based off his response. But, you know, I didn't hear the beginning of it, so maybe Peter Ducey had something good there. What I want to talk about, though, is Joe Biden before Dr. Fauci, because he gets out there and when given the opportunity, and this is a rare opportunity to ask questions of the president, the press never fails to disgust me. Because I have to assume, Jared, based off my cut sheet here, my cut sheet says Biden is asked, because there's this big, big story that's breaking that Trump tested positive before a debate and he went anyway. And that's the big news story because we have nothing else to talk about. You know, everything else in the world is going so smoothly right now that we can focus on Trump's old debate. And so naturally, one of the reporters there, one of these morons in our press, says, I'm going to ask a question. I haven't been able to ask a question in almost 10 months, and he's finally going to let me ask one. I'm going to ask about Donald Trump, because that's what the American people want to talk about. Cut 19, please.
Mr. President, a quick question on testing requirements.
Mark Meadows has written a book revealing that President Trump tested positive for COVID 2 days before your first debate. Do you think the former president put you at risk?
I don't think about the former president.
That makes one of us, because
that is false.
Those people are thinking about him 24/7. They are completely obsessed. He's all they think about. He is running through their mind all the time. He is living there rent-free. So while Joe Biden claims he doesn't think about him, everybody else that surrounds him is always thinking about the former guy, as they like to call him. They thought that was going to catch on, Jared.
Yeah.
TFG, the former guy. And instead, what they did not see coming, and it's strange because they usually predict things so well, what they did not see coming is that FJB would actually take over the world. Forget TFG, it's FJB, or it's Let's Go Brandon. By the way, you can get this shirt at gracecurlyshow.com. A lot of people already texting in saying they got theirs. Very, very, very happy for you. I do want to say, though, speaking of people who misread the situation or didn't predict the future correctly, the inflation miscalculation complicating Biden's agenda. This is from the New York Times. President Biden's top economists have worried from the beginning of his administration that rising inflation could hamstring the economy's recovery from recession along with his presidency. Now, what they're really worried about, see how they phrase that? You know, we don't want to hamstring the economy, but also it could be harmful to the presidency. all these people care about. They don't care about, you know, how much money you're spending at the grocery store. How much can a banana cost? $10? They don't care about that. They care about that it could hurt Joe Biden. The same reason they don't care about crime. They don't care if stores have to put up boards all over their windows or get looted. They don't care if your home gets broken into. They don't care if your car gets broken into. They don't even care about this variant. They just care how it's going to directly affect Joe Biden. Everything is in relation to voting, elections, and keeping the presidency. That's all they care about. It's that ghoulish and morbid. That is all they care about. So inflation, they're not worried that you might have to spend more on your gallon of milk. By the way, it's disgusting if you still drink cow's milk. I've never heard of anything so gross. I'm just trying to get into the mindset of like a Washington, D.C. journalist. They don't care about that. They care that the price of milk might look bad for dear old Joe. That's all it is. So it says, last spring, Mr. Biden's advisors made a forecasting error that helped turn their fears into reality. Ooh, this is where it comes into the transitory. Jared, give my audience an idea of where this word transitory, when we started hearing it a lot. I believe it was from Jen Psaki first. We were told that this was only going to be around for a little while.
Yes, Jen Psaki, that it was transitory.
We had nothing to worry about. It was here and then it was going to be gone. It was like the weather.
And apparently 17 Nobel laureate poet economist peoples wrote a letter to Joe saying they believed the effect would be transitory as well.
You know what I say about inflation? It's like the weather in Cape Cod. You don't like it? Wait 5 minutes. Well, turns out it's been a little bit longer than 5 minutes and we're still looking at it. So Mr. Biden's advisors believe that widespread availability of coronavirus vaccinations would speed the return to pre-pandemic life. And now what they're saying is they miscalculated inflation. And maybe it's not going to be transitory. And this all comes as a shock to me because I was taking their word for it. They were the experts and I listened to the experts. But listen to Joe Biden, because he has to talk about the supply chain crisis. And obviously, this is very much in his wheelhouse. Anything to do with the economy, jobs, money, products, efficiency, that is all where Joe Biden feels the most comfortable. And you can really tell when he starts talking about these things that he's here with us. He knows exactly what's going on. He's got his finger on the pulse. Cut eight, please, Jared.
Some of you moms and dads may remember Cabbage Patch Kids back in the 80s or Beanie Babies in the 90s or other toys that have run out at Christmas time in past years when there was no supply chain problem.
Yeah. And? Okay, cut nine. Hoping he's going to wrap this up and explain what he means.
Prices are still out of sync. Prices are still out of sync as the world comes back.
Okay. Well, you know what? Maybe he should reference someone who's, you know, more in tune with the economy. Oh, good. He references Janet Yellen. Cut 12, please.
And the Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, described it yesterday that it is, quote, a profound economic and moral victory for our country. End of
wait,
quote.
Wait, hold on. She's, what is she?
And the Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen.
The Secretary.
Secretary. He also did the end of quote again at that.
Yeah, he's been doing that a lot. And you mentioned a word that he got a little stuck on, cut 15.
17 Nobel laureate, winners in the Nobel economic winners.
Nobel laureates?
Nobel economic winner.
You know what I say, Jared? You know what I'm going to say about that. You know what I'm going to say. It's the saboteur. It is the saboteur. Who's writing these? Damn it! Laureates? Really? Was that necessary? Was that necessary? He got through Cabbage Patch Kids. He got through Beanie Babies. He said, no, he sailed through that, Jared. That was...
Some of you moms and dads may remember Cabbage Patch Kids back in the...
Okay, so there was a bit of a struggle, maybe. But he nailed Beanie Babies. He's great with the bees.
Some of you moms and dads may remember Cabbage Patch Kids back in the 80s or Beanie Babies in the 90s. Or
you know what I should play here, though? He takes a shot at the news, because if we've learned anything, it's that the news is really, the media is very hard on Joe Biden. You know, they're tough on him. That's why they helped him win the election. Cut four.
If you watch the news recently, you might think the shelves in all our stores are empty across the country, that parents won't be able to get presents for their children on holidays this holiday season.
I don't watch the news to find that out. I just go to the grocery store. I just look for my favorite cookies, and they're not available. This man. Oh, and of course, I should say that he started the address talking about the variant that is that we just found out. There's a confirmed case in California, and he's sticking to, this is kind of what I respect about Joe Biden. If he decides something, he sticks with it. You know, if he decides I'm calling it Omicron, it's Omicron. You can call it whatever you want. He's not going to change. Cut one.
First, however, I want to quickly reiterate what I spoke about on Monday concerning Omicron, the variant, and the steps we're taking to combat it.
I don't want to hear any guff from anyone about how I pronounce
Omicron.
It. I'll pronounce it. Apparently, this is a free-for-all. We can just pronounce it however we want. So I'm going to go with my favorite pronunciation, Omnicorn.
Concerning Omicron.
Did he say Omnicrom?
Yes.
Oh, so it's a double whammy. 844-500-4242. We're going to keep the lines open here. I want to talk with all the listeners for the rest of the show. I have some Alec Baldwin news. He's sitting down for his first big interview. We'll talk about that. I want to break down this Jussie Smollett trial, what's happening with that. And also, I want to talk to you guys about Charlie Baker. This is a really good time to call in if you have a local take on this. Charlie Baker has decided he is not going to run for re-election. I think the obvious question tomorrow for the poll question is, who's he going to endorse?
My hair's on fire.
I don't think it's going to be Jeff Deal. He couldn't even endorse Jeff Deal when Jeff was running against Elizabeth Warren. He like struggled with that. I was very disappointed in how he handled that decision.
Apparently rumors are swirling that Anaïssa Taibbi, who just lost the mayoral race.
Yes, Anaïssa Taibbi George.
Taibbi George, excuse me. I
could be saying it completely wrong, so don't.
Omicron is running for governor.
Yeah. Nothing matters anymore.
She is debating putting her hat into the ring for governor.
Oh!
After losing the mayoral race. That's the rumor mill churning.
You know what? We didn't really talk about that race a lot, but I have to say I wasn't surprised, but she did have a lot of support from like South Boston, Dorchester. A lot of police were supporting her. I saw her signs in a lot of places. So she definitely made a mark. She didn't win, obviously, but she made a mark. It's true what they say, a perfect smile. Change your smile, change your life. I saw the change with Howie and with the mailroom manager. Howie has that smile, man. I mean, he gets compliments everywhere he goes. And if you talk to him about it, if you ever meet Howie and you have a question about his experience at Perfect Smiles, you can ask him about it. He raves about Dr. Houghton, about everyone there, even about the cleanings. He convinced me to go in for a cleaning, and he said, Grace, it's going to be the best teeth cleaning you've ever had. And I said, Howie, I don't even know if I'd be able to tell the difference between one or the other. I came in that day. I said, I take it all back. It was the best cleaning I've ever had. Everyone there is awesome. Tell them I sent you. And if you're really considering transforming your whole smile, you can go to perfectsmiles.com and look at the video transformations. I think the common theme you will find in those is that people just wish they had gotten on board with this a little sooner, because it really does change your life. It changes your confidence, the way you interact with people. It just makes you a lot happier. Dr. Houghton is an artist. He's excellent at what he does. He takes it very seriously. Parking is free. The staff is warm and welcoming. If you've been wanting to upgrade your look for years, contact them today and look at their video testimonials. Go to perfectsmiles.com. That's perfectsmiles.com. By the way, I will finish this story by Dr. Angelique Cote-Z, because she is saying, or she's writing in this, the exact opposite of what Dr. Fauci is doing. She's saying, don't panic. You know, we shouldn't do anything like this. He is the panic pusher. And we're going to talk about it when we return. Don't go anywhere. It's The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
Welcome back. back, everyone. I'm getting a lot of really good texts from you guys today, so I wanted to read a couple of these that caught my eye. Here's one. It's amazing how all the reporters' questions to Fauci are framed like, can you lock us down and quarantine us again? They really do. They're basically begging for it. Why don't you think that maybe locking us up and never letting us go anywhere and having us wear 4 masks and also dress in a giant bubble wouldn't help? Don't you think that would be good? There's a lot of pushback of people who don't think you're acting aggressively enough and keeping us miserable. Here's another text. Waiting for somebody to ask, why are you looking into everything except how effective the antibodies are? Yeah, I got the answer for you right here that you're never going to hear come out of Dr. Fauci's mouth. The answer, Big Pharma. And lastly, someone just texted in. They asked Fauci about Trump testing positive before debate two. These people are so shameless. Like, you have nothing else you can ask this guy? Anyone ask about gain of function? Huh? No? Okay. We have an update from Jared that I don't think people need to hear, and I don't think you should tell them it, but I know you're going to, so let's get it over with.
Yes, apparently today is Jen Psaki's birthday. So the sycophants in the press room.
No.
All sang. I don't have the audio of it because I didn't care to look for it. But apparently they all sang happy birthday.
No.
To our beloved press secretary. And she said, 25 feels great. As a gentleman, I won't reveal her actual age, but.
Oh, you're such a classy guy.
Suffice it to say, she is not 25.
Jared, you are. They say chivalry is dead, but you are a classic gentleman.
Hey, in my 42 years on this earth, one less than her, I am
Jared!
Going to be a gentleman.
And he gave it away just like that. All of this stuff is just so pathetic.
Sorry, one less than she.
All of this is so incredibly lame. I mean, no one has a good question to ask. Think of all of the things that have transpired over the last 10 months. The best questions they can come up with are, Orange Man's really bad. Don't you think he's bad? Can you tell us how bad he is again? We miss talking about how Orange Man bad. You people make me sick. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Follins Bee Inn, located on beautiful Kezar Lake in North Sutton, New Hampshire. That's Follins Bee Inn, spelled Follansbee. Go to FollinsBeeInn.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
If you needed a lawyer, which of these people would you hire? Chris Cuomo, Hunter Biden, Jeffrey Toobin, or Michael Avenatti?
I would hire the Beanie Baby or the Cabbage Patch Kid. I would hire anyone but these people.
I think actually there was a Cabbage Patch Kid that was a lawyer, I'm sure, because they all had different professions.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah.
That was a little before my time because that was the 80s.
That's true. Yeah. I had somebody got me one year and I got the astronaut, like the astronaut.
Of course.
Cabbage Patch Kid.
Oh, was that a good Christmas for you?
His name was Woodrow.
Oh, fancy.
It was okay.
You were happy with it?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to choose, and this is really tough. I'm going to stick with my original choice, the one and only Jeffrey Zoomin Toobin.
Damn! Jeffrey Toobin?
At least Pee-wee Herman was in an X-rated movie.
Jeffrey Toobin in the lead at 37%, 31% for creepy porn lawyer Michael Avenatti, 21% for Hunter Biden, and just 10% for Fredo Chris Cuomo.
Yeah, that's a smart move. I mean, if we've learned anything over the past couple of years of watching Chris Cuomo, it's that he does not have a good grip on the Constitution, which is pretty amazing. As some of his guests have pointed out, he went to law school. Now, speaking of someone who's going to need a very good lawyer to get out of their current predicament, the jury seized video of Jussie Smollett in dry run a day before alleged hate attack. Embattled Empire actor Jussie Smollett was caught on surveillance video doing a dry run one day before his alleged hate crime. Prosecutors contend the footage confirms the actor faked his attack with Nigerian brothers who are expected to be key witnesses for the persecution in this case. The prosecution, I'm sorry. Smollett's lawyers claim the actor was really attacked by the two brothers. He's still sticking with this.
I think that what people need to hear is just the truth.
I think we will hear the truth from the two brothers. He actually sent them a text. I stand, brother, I love you. I stand with you. I know 1,000% you and your brother did nothing wrong and never would. I don't think at this point he knew they were already like singing the truth to the cops. We'll talk a little bit more about this, and we're going to discuss Alec Baldwin and Omicron when we come back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Zeke, go ahead.
Thank you, Jen. Just first off, happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. 25 feels really good, guys, as you all know. So I appreciate it.
On the topic of COVID.
Oh, boy. It's just, they love each other so much.
It really is the high school clique.
That I was never a part of. I was never a part of, Jared, and I'm still not a part of it now.
You don't want to be a part of this clique.
Yeah, no, they peaked very early. They peaked when Joe Biden walked into the White House, and since then it has been downhill. In fact, there's a new report from the Post-Millennial here. They got a hold of new polling. Biden's approval rating, you ready for this? I had read that it was having a little bump up, and at a certain point you think you bottom out. You know, you got to start heading up there, but no, Biden's approval rating plummets to 36.3%. This is a Trafalgar Group. They reveal that Biden's approval rating in November has continued to fall, landing at 36.3%. To that I say, let's go, Brandon. You know where you can get it. GraceCurlyShow.com. They're going quick. Get on it now. Speaking of songs, Chris Cuomo is out, so I would love to say goodbye, Fredo. It's been nice. Hope you find your paradise. That was a tough one for a lot of people at CNN, mostly Don Lemon, because I'm pretty sure that's his only friend at CNN. But he's indefinitely suspended, so we'll keep you posted on that. You know, as Keira Davis pointed out, Democrats love a comeback story, and they like it very fast. Like, they don't wait a long time to rehash people. They give everyone like a week off and then they say, you know what? You're okay. Come on back. So we'll keep you up to date on whether or not Chris Cuomo is going to make his triumphant return like a phoenix rising from the ashes. But someone who's definitely bowing out is Charlie Baker. He will not be seeking re-election as governor of Massachusetts.
There's a lot at stake here.
And, you know, I'm surprised he didn't do one last press conference just so someone could ask him, Governor, what do you think of Trump allegedly going to a debate after testing positive for COVID? And he could say, you know, I'm so disappointed. I can't do the voice. That's a Taylor thing.
I'm sure he's calling a press conference at some point right now just so he can be asked about this
by Panhandler Radio. As he should.
Yes. He's not like walking away and resigning now. He's just not seeking election. So he's still with us for a while.
Yeah, we'll still get a couple more press conferences and maybe some more interviews with Jim Browdy and, you know, Marjorie Egan, where he can talk about the vaccine passport. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. But I want to go back here to this commentary by Dr. Angelique Cote-Z. She's talking about how when she announced that she had seen the Omicron variant, she did not expect this kind of reaction from not just the media, but from governments and what they decided to do. And she talks a lot about UK, but we have a lot of that overreaction here. No one overreacts better than our very own Dr. Fauci. So I'm going to go back to reading this here. Our government was understandably angered by this, pointing out that excellent science should be applauded, not punished, because she's chair of the South African Medical Association. And so she's been there for 33 years. She tells them about this. They alert other countries. And then this is the reaction. It's like, you guys, you can't come here anymore. We're having a travel ban. If, as some evidence suggests, Omicron turns out to be a fast-spreading virus with mostly mild symptoms for the majority of the people who catch it, that would be a useful step on the road to herd immunity. Remember herd immunity? We talked about that a lot.
Sounds vaguely familiar.
We'll learn in the next 2 weeks if that is the case. The worst situation, of course, would be a fast-spreading virus with severe infections. But that's not where we're at the moment. Here in South Africa, what I and my GP colleagues are seeing doesn't in any way warrant the knee-jerk reaction we've seen from the UK. I'm going to add in also the United States of America. For one thing, we're not, at least for now, treating patients who are severely ill. Don't you think this is stuff we should be talking about? I get a lot of flack for certain things I decide to spend time on, but don't you think the news channels, instead of scaring everyone and getting everyone to lock down again and ruining people's plans and ruining people's holidays, that they should be focused on what we have right now as far as data and science? Instead, they're bringing out Dr. Fauci and the birthday girl to scare everybody. Take my first Omicron case, the young man I mentioned earlier. It didn't occur to him that he had COVID. So this is the first case. This is the case that was heard around the world, okay? And I want to describe it to you. It didn't occur to him that he had COVID. He thought he had too much sun after working outside. After he tested positive, so did his wife and his four-month-old baby. So far, the patients who've tested positive for Omicron here have been mainly young men. A mixture of vaccinated and unvaccinated. Though in our statistics, unvaccinated can also mean single vaccinated. Only yesterday, I saw five more patients who had tested positive for the new variant. They all had a very mild illness. The key word being mild. That's a word you should be hearing over and over and over again. Instead, the word you're hearing is Omicron or Omicron. Whatever Joe Biden falls on that day. So at the moment, I'm afraid it seems to me that Britain is merely hyping up the alarm about this variant unnecessarily. Yes, the picture might one day look different. I have yet to see older, unvaccinated people infected with the new variant, for example, and they might well present with a more severe form of the disease. But the reality is that COVID is something we have to learn to live with. Look after yourself and get your vaccines. Above all, don't panic. And that goes for governments as well. Excellent piece. I will tweet this out. Just calling out the insane reaction that we have here. And it is the media. They rule by control and they rule by fear. And fear is the method of controlling people. And it works, especially irrational fear. Fear that doesn't do you any good. That's the kind of fear they like the most.
And the only thing I can hope out of this is that if they just keep beating people over the head with this, bludgeoning them with this day after day, people will finally start to push back. Because that's the thing about fear. You can conquer fear. Once you face the fear, you can conquer it. You can see it and you can move on from it. And that usually comes when it's just thrown in your face so much that you have no choice but to fight back. So hopefully we're getting to that point.
Don't you think it's weird though, Jared, that for me, the fear of this, and I'm not going to sit here and claim, I always like to be honest with people. If I wanted to be dishonest, I would call up Chris Cuomo and take his advice, but I like to be honest with my listeners. There were times when this first started that I was worried. I didn't know, nobody knew what it really was.
Right.
You listen to the news and you get scared. I was scared for, you know, my family members, especially my older relatives. Of course I was scared. But I think for me, when I started to really question the authenticity of what our government officials and our experts were telling us was when they were clearly not afraid. Like, I'm not going to hold on to this fear while the people who are beating me over the head with it are at parties or at the French Laundry or on vacation or at nightclubs or, you know, shopping in Nantucket or having historic days by the Lincoln Memorial, all without masks on. If you're so afraid, then wouldn't you be acting afraid? Wouldn't you be behaving in a way that makes me think you're afraid? They're not afraid. So I always felt kind of foolish. Like, why am I running around like a chicken with my head cut off when all of these people who have all this information, they're following the science, are having a pretty nice time? They're making money. They're going on vacation. That's the part of this that I don't understand, like why some people haven't broken out of the fear.
Yeah, it all depends on what you're seeing, what you pay attention to, what your biases are and things like that. Like we've been immersed in this, every press conference, everything. So, and our listeners kind of the same way. They've been following this very closely, but maybe the average person hasn't. People who don't want to look for alternative media or look for things that they don't get, you know, they don't do research, things like that.
Yeah.
People who just don't investigate and just kind of
see it and believe
it. All right. Well, I like this news anchor. They're saying this. Okay. I believe them.
Yeah. But you know what? here's one thing I will say is that there are people who don't really pay attention to the news. And I actually was talking to one of them. This was a few months ago. It was one of my sister's friends, really nice girl from California. We're going back and forth talking about things. And I was driving her home and for my sister, and I didn't want to say anything too political. My sister has friends. They're all young. Some of them are a little bit more left. And we started talking about COVID and, you know, San Francisco. She lived in San Diego and then she moved to San Francisco. I was asking her all these questions. Then at one point she said to me, yeah, what really changed it for me, what really kind of opened my eyes to just how political it was when we were told over and over again that you couldn't say it started in the Wuhan lab. And then all of a sudden Joe Biden was saying that it was a possibility. But when Trump said it, everyone got mad. And she wasn't a Trump supporter, but she said, I just noticed it. It was like, wait a second. You were just telling us something 6 months ago that we couldn't say, that that was ridiculous. And now suddenly it's back in fashion because Jon Stewart does a monologue on late night TV. I do think that even people who get the little updates from CNN, ding, 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 have a threshold for this kind of crap. And now I think what the word that you're going to keep hearing over and over again is booster, booster, booster. And people are getting sick of that as well, because it's like, hold on, I did what I was supposed to do. As Bill Maher said, I took one for the team. I'm doubly vaccinated. I got the jab, the Fauci-ouchie, whatever you want to call it. What's next? An IV? Am I going to walk around with an IV and you're going to constantly be dripping in this magic liquid that's going to save me from COVID? I mean, where does it end? And Walensky says, oh, we're not going to change the definition of fully vaccinated. I should hope not. What makes you think that you even have the ability to do that? You can change it for yourself in your own mind, but I'm not going to change what I consider fully vaccinated. And listen to Joe Biden. This is, I'm not talking crazy here. The booster is the new thing. Cut three.
If you're over 18 years of age, you got vaccinated before June 1, go get your booster shot today.
You imagine no. You're like an 18-year-old young guy. You got fully vaccinated for a virus that you have a very, very slim chance of getting sick from, let alone dying from. And now you're being told you have to get a booster. It reeks of big pharma. That's all I can think of.
And just say no. No. If you don't want to do it, no. That is the key to all of this. That is how everything starts. Just no. Look at the success that lawsuits have had against the vaccine mandates. Look at the success that certain nursing unions and other things have had.
Yeah, pushing like you back can push mandates. Back. You can
push back because none of this is actually law.
Right.
There is no law about any of us. The police have no authority on this.
They're just banking on that people will keep listening to them. You're right. Yeah,
and if you don't listen, what can they do? They can tell you it's law all they want, but if it's not, it's not.
You know what someone wrote one time, and I thought this is such an accurate description? It's like if you decide to have a walkout at school, not a walkout because that sounds like it's political. If you decide to have, let's say, a senior skip day, okay, we're all going to skip school. You all have to do it because they can't expel all of you. They can't make all of you not graduate. So there's power in numbers. It's like the cast of Friends. We'll all try to get $1 million per episode. You have more power together. And that's what they did. Alice, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Alice.
Hey, Grace. Thank you very much. Love your show.
Thank you.
And congratulations on your marriage.
Oh, thank you so much.
I just want to make one point and something I think you need to look into. The first thing is about the vaccine passports. There's a sheriff in Los Angeles who is refusing to implement it because he's finding that it's the company who's doing it is tied to the Communist Chinese Party. And so they're also sending everybody's information over to other countries.
I'd have to look into that. I haven't seen that story, Alice, but it's sounding a little bit like it's a TikTok app. Like you're going to sign up for it and then you're going to lose all your information, which wouldn't shock me. I do have to. I'll look that up, though, Alice, and maybe we can talk about it tomorrow. I appreciate the call. When we get back, I want to talk to Howie Carr about his feelings on Charlie Baker. Charlie Baker's deciding not to run again. I don't think Howie's going to.
I'm chuckling.
I don't think Howie's going to be too disappointed. The Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack is back. This is their most popular offer. You'll have one for your basement, first floor, and second floor. Jared, I know you love the Thunderstorm for so many reasons, but talk about when you use it in your car.
I like to have it in my car because it's easy. It's small. It's portable. It's not a big thing. It's not a giant fan. It's the same unit that you just plug into your wall. It comes with a little USB cable. You plug it into that. You plug it into your USB port. And in your car, it helps get rid of those odors, whether it's that kind of fast food odor or if you have the kind of that oily car smell or gas smell, if you just spilled some gas or anything like that. And if, like me, you have allergies and you get the windows open and the pollen gets in the car, I mean, you're not really opening your windows this time of year, but once the pollen gets in, you can't get it out. It helps to oxygenate the car. It creates that super oxygen with the ions. You have it at home and you can have it in the car, especially with the time we spend in the car in this state.
Absolutely. And it's a great gift because a lot of people say, I already have one. Well, now you can give them away as gifts. I'm sure you have a friend who's been wanting to try it. They won't be disappointed. With the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack, you'll get 3 units for under $200 and you'll save $200. Go to EdenPureDeals.com, click my name, and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. That's EdenPureDeals.com, click my name, and use code word GRACE3. When we get back, we'll be talking to Howard Lawrence Carr. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Today's poll question is, oh, we already did the poll question. It's time for the car crossover, and it is brought to you by Toyota of Portsmouth. Make sure you check them out. All right, we have Howie Carr with us now. Howie, thanks so much for tuning in to the show. Howie, I wanted to ask you, this story that the press seems to be obsessed with is all about Trump testing positive for COVID before a debate. I thought it was so dumb, I didn't even look it up because he's not president anymore and we have a lot of other bigger fish to fry. But I decided to look this up on CNN. It turns out that these claims in Mark Meadows' book, it actually says that he was tested with an old model kit, and then when he was subsequently tested with the BinaxNOW system, he returned a negative test. I have not been hearing that from the mainstream media.
You know, what do these tests matter? I mean, didn't Aaron Rodgers test positive? Is he dead? Ben Roethlisberger tested positive? Is he dead? I mean, who is dying when they test positive? This is ridiculous. Now, Grace, they're all, oh, they're so happy. Omicron has claimed its first victim. Of course, it's some guy who's fully vaccinated and he's not going to die or anything like that. But, oh, they've got, oh, we have someone positive. Can we shut down the country again? Can we cancel Christmas?
Howie, that is exactly. So before you called in, I was talking to my dad on the phone. He's so angry. He's like, why did every question they ask, it's like they're begging for Fauci and Biden to shut us down again. Don't you think maybe you should do something before we all get sick?
You know what it is, Grace? It's just, it's so much easier to do this than actually have to go out and do real reporting.
Or ask a real question.
Yeah, exactly.
Howie, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. I cannot believe they're sitting there asking about Donald Trump testing positive months ago when we have a man in there who cannot put his shoes on in the morning. It's absolutely pathetic.
Who doesn't know it that Ilhan Omar is a woman who ran against Amy Klobuchar and doesn't know her name.
I believe you mean Abby Klobuchar to you, sir.
Yes.
Please use her Christian name. By the way, Howie, Governor Charlie Baker will not seek re-election. Your thoughts?
I'm pleased. I my heart feels like an alligator. I got a column posted on the website, HowieCarshow.com. Goodbye, Charlie Baker. And I also have very funny pictures of him with a duffel bag full of clothes with a hack named Tim Buckley. They're leaving. I won't tell you where I got those pictures, Grace, but you'll appreciate them. Charlie Baker hits the road. You can read it at HowieCarshow.com, HowieCarshow.com. And get a Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. We have all kinds of great gift certificates, restaurant gift certificates from Maria's Restaurante in Portland, and the 110 Grill is coming up shortly, Grace.
Absolutely. There's so much to get at GraceCurleyShow.com. Howie has a crazy good show ready for you. He's got Charlie Baker is out. Chris Cuomo is out. Dr. Fauci's back at the podium. What more do you need?